hear shit like this is going to be all these proletarians.
Well, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to hope that the technology encased within this massively overpriced piece of hardware, which we're all desperately addicted to, has the ability to fade out external noise and decipher the ramblings of two people in a bar drinking and make us sound smarter.
I'm just checking. I'm sorry about this because I was prepared, but I'm checking that Documentally hasn't fucking tweeted on my phone again. And then I look at it like some blind...
He does have...
A blind fucking dervish and say... Probably the wrong word, but
a
say...
A dervish?
That's a twirling...
Twirling?
Yes, yeah. The wrong word.
As in you're moving around so fast you can't see what's going on around you.
Because I'm so angry that Christian is tweeting off my fucking phone, retweeting it, and then I'm actually looking at the phone and
I'm wondering why people are retweeting the fact that you've just asked for a tanning salon that also waxes. Listen, you leave your phone on the table, logged in, no password, on Twitter. The things that passed my mind that I could have tweeted.
It was a gift.
The fact that all I asked for was a tan with a wax. I think you're very lucky.
It was like Turkish delight in a monkey shop. So
we were talking about London.
Well, we were, but I hate London. But one thing, I'll give you my best moment of this year so far. It's a bit poncy, but go with me. So I got back from Paris last week, and which was hideous because we spent 2 days in Disneyland, the pinnacle of tat and kettling. But I managed to go to
Ketamine.
Yeah, that's where you can see the fucking train station exit, where there's a massive fence in front of it.
Oh, kettling. Sorry, yeah. I thought you said ketamine.
No, not ketamine. Oh, that was on short supply, Mickey Mouse ketamine. But there isn't a horse in Disney, is there? They could tranquilise Pluto with that shit. But so we stayed in a hotel in Montparnasse. And it was, luckily, happy accident. It was right around the corner from Montparnasse Cemetery, where lots of very pretentious people are buried. But I went down at 8 o'clock in the morning, and like every cemetery...
Why Montparnasse and not Père Lachaise?
Everyone wants to see Jim Morrison. Why?
Chopin, Jim Morrison.
Well, there's a lot. It's on the other side of the city.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was happy accident. So I just looked on the map and went, my God, Montparnasse Cemetery is just outside the hotel. Kids didn't want to go there, obviously it's full of dead people, but I went down at 8 o'clock in the morning, and like every cemetery in Paris, it's arranged on a big grid and it's open at very specific times. There was even a guidebook on the little hook that you could take, and I was looking for the French poet Charles Baudelaire. And
why?
Because I'm a big fan, and he was one of the first poets in France to talk about cities and crowds.
Can you recite any?
Dear hypocrite, dear reader, blah blah blah. There's loads, but stop fucking wait. Diverting me. The reason it was so special is I was wandering around. It was a very blue sky, and I had this map, and there's a huge, mad. Statue to Baudelaire, which has these vast bat wings coming out from left and right, but that's not where he's buried. He's buried in a very small grave because he died of syphilis in 1864 before any of his work was published, so his grave is very small. So I was looking for it and I couldn't find it, and they have these little posts where they have watering cans so that people can come, they're always full of water, and water their loved one's grave. And I was wandering around, obviously looking like a hipster, and this...
Looking like a hipster with no beard and no hair?
Well, no, I had, like, you know, skinny jeans on. But there was a very, very small French woman who must have been in her 80s or 90s, bent over. And as I walked past her, she went, "Tu cherches Baudelaire? Are you looking for Baudelaire?" It must have been obvious, but I said, I am. And she actually put her arm inside mine, this tiny little old French woman, and she took me to Baudelaire's grave, and she went, "Voilà, Baudelaire." She didn't say anything else. She didn't say he was, you know, he died of syphilis, nothing. She assumed I knew all that. But she waddled off on her own and carried on watering all the other graves, and took me directly to that very small, very inconspicuous grave that I could stand there for about 5 minutes, think my thoughts, and think, hey, what a sad waste, but I'm here, and it's one of the graves I've always wanted to visit. And it's thanks to that very ancient, watering can carrying French woman that I could.
Were there any markings on the grave?
Yeah, yeah. Charles Baudelaire, his dad, his mother, and his dad was in the French army. His mother was a lawyer. They wanted him to become a lawyer. He said, I want to be a writer. They said, don't do that, you won't make any money. He didn't, and he died at the age of 46. They were devastated, but 3 years after his death, he was one of the most influential poets and writers in France. Influenced everything from T.S. Eliot, especially, who read a book about him when he was young and wrote The Wasteland.
Who published his materials?
It's published posthumously in France by small presses at first, but there was a guy called Arthur Simmons who wrote a book called Symbolist Literature in France, which is quite obscure, but T.S. Eliot read it and then basically quoted Baudelaire in The Wasteland, and then from that point on he became one of the most well-known poets in France. But his mother, he became published after he died, and his mother said, well, at least I know Charlie, she called him Charlie, has his place in literature. And I thought, that's amazing. One of the most, people think they have to make it before they die, and most of the artists in the 19th century did not. And a lot of people here, it's probably going to be even harder now. So you can't think about, the reason we think about that now is because of money. And it's really, really difficult to think, actually, I need to trust, if I make a massive amount of amazing art, I might not see its fruition for 100 years. So,
if you think of how search engines work nowadays and the amount that we are writing and sharing all over the internet, it might only be that you are topically, ultimately, incredibly relevant at a particular time in history, in the distant future, because all the algorithms point to your diary or your musings.
Yeah, another quick one on that point. I love that idea, because it means I can divorce my idea of writing for money out of the fact that
writing for writing's sake.
Exactly. So Herman Melville, who wrote Moby Dick, which is now, you know, it's a massive achievement in books generally, died. That was his biggest failure. So when he died, he had no idea of his worth as an artist. He died in relative poverty. I'm not saying that's what you should shoot for, but think bigger than what you're doing right now, right? Because otherwise you're always going to be chasing the dollar, and in the arts and in stuff that really matters, that should never matter. I'm not saying die in poverty.
But what you are saying is believing what you're doing. Do what you do from the bottom of your heart and soul.
Well,
it will be discovered.
Anything I've ever written, where I've read the backstory of the writer, and I know, especially these days, that they write for a market or they write for money, you can smell it in their words. Right? So when I read his stuff now, Baudelaire, this is, syphilis is bad. But that was a different era. But when I read those words, they float off the page because they're not driven by anything apart from the fact that he had to write them, you know. So it's hard to look at someone's grave and think, that's very sad and it's very tragic. If I knew and I was your friend, I would be very upset about all of your life, what it means. But 100 years later, one of the best poets in French history. So what can you say?
That was awesome.
What can you say?
You should have cut it off before I said that was awesome.
It's only because you were like free-flowing your thoughts, and then you suddenly realised, oh my God, I've had countless pints and I'm still making sense.
Yeah, it's good.
This is an unusual moment.
Don't always chase the dollar. Don't chase the fucking dollar.
Don't chase the dollar. Write because you want to write.
Not just the dollar's important. Not just the fucking dollar.